that's a blessing. So Matthew 19, verse 16. It's funny, the people that were angry that he told the story, it's like, well, there's not a whole lot of detail about what happens in heaven. So there are going to be things we don't know of. That'll be a blessing. But Matthew 19, 16, we're going to read part of this story. The rich young ruler, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that you would help us, draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that you'd use me, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit, open our ears and hearts, take away the distractions. Lord, help us to learn from your word tonight and Lord, to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So this story is in, we read Matthew 19, it's also in Mark chapter 10 and Luke 18, so it's in three of the Gospels, three different accounts, and what's funny is we call this the rich young ruler, but the only way you can get all three of those is from Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, so we know that he is rich, he is young, and probably a ruler of a synagogue or some kind of religious ruler, and Mark tells us that he ran to Jesus, and knelt before him when he asked the question, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So this, if you imagine this picture, Jesus is out walking and he is walking from place to place. And in this time of the Gospels, he would have had a crowd of people around him. This crowd would have been stirred up seeing this powerful and young a rich man running to Jesus, running through the crowd. A person like this wouldn't run. And they're not going to be the type like a child running, but he is running to Jesus, splitting the crowd, gets to him, and he doesn't talk to him face to face. He is kneeling down. And in fact, they said it's probably more like he's grabbing his knees, like kneeling that much, you know, and just, and you would have thought he didn't even care what anyone else thought. And there's probably other religious rulers we know, because in the Gospels, over and over again, they're trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to catch him in his words, question him. And oftentimes he talks to them and different things. So we know that they're around. So they would have probably been astonished as well, seeing one of their own do this to Jesus Christ. They thought they were above Jesus. You know, yeah, I think that's pretty clear in the Gospels how they thought. But, you know, Jesus' disciples are probably thinking, wow, this is great. You know, if this man becomes a Christian, if he comes to Christ, then we're going to have some power and someone with prestige and a religious ruler on our side. That'll be a big win, won't it? This will be a great convert, you know? That's what we would say. This is great that he is coming. You know, forget the poor and the needy and everything else. This is somebody with money, right? That's what they're probably thinking. And he says, "Good master," the man says, "what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And then Jesus, you know, this is how Jesus interacts with someone that enthusiastic to come to him. He says, "Why callest thou me good?" He asks him why. "You've called me good. Why? Why are you calling me that?" And he says, "There is none good but one, that is God. So really, he's already starting to break down and question the man and saying, listen, are you saying that I'm good, like as in I'm a pretty good person? Right? Is that what you're calling me? That's what Jesus is saying. And we see that today. There are people, they will acknowledge that Jesus is a pretty good person. But he said, no, no, no. There's only one good, and that's God. So are you calling me a good person because I'm pretty good at teaching or words or speaking? Or are you calling me good because you are admitting I'm God?
Amen.
There's a difference. And that's what he's starting off right here. He's saying, look, as you're approaching me, what Jesus am I to you? You realize to the world it's the same thing. When we are taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the same way. He's not just a pretty good moral man or a pretty good teacher, because in that case, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he's a pretty good teacher, and they're saying there's a whole bunch of ways to get to heaven or to get to paradise, then they're saying Jesus just lied with that. He's not a good teacher. He'd be a liar. So that's what he's getting at. Is he God? Because God's the one that can forgive sins. So he's starting to question him. Remember, this enthusiastic convert, potential convert, none good but God. And then he says, but if thou wilt enter into life and keep the commandments. So he answers his question. Remember, he says, which thing shall I do that I may have an eternal life? And then, and I think it's Mark says, to inherit eternal life. So Jesus is asking his questions. He's saying, really, he was already saying that there's only one perfect man, one good man, and that's God, and that's myself. That's what he's saying. But after saying that only God can truly be good, he says, you want to attain eternal life yourself, here's what you have to do. You have to keep the commandments. Right? That's what he says. He says, you must keep the commandments. And what he is saying is every single one, perfectly and completely. We know that from the Old Testament. If you could manage to follow every single one perfectly your entire life, which we know we can't even come close, then he says you could earn eternal life that way, but you can't. So this is what he's challenging him. You know what Jesus is trying to do? So this is soul winning right here. This is what Jesus is teaching us. Even with this rich young ruler running to him, enthusiastic and everything else, he's not saying, well, here, just pray to me some quick prayer. He starts questioning him. First, do you believe that I'm God? And now you know what he's getting at. How are you doing with your life? Have you committed sin? Are you a sinner? That's what he's asking. Have you kept all the commandments? He should have said, no, I haven't, by the way. That's what someone who's ready to accept Jesus Christ, when you ask them that, they say, I have sinned against the Lord.
That's right.
There's no salvation without admitting that you're a sinner. So he's asking him, kept the commandments. Look at 18. You almost want to say he's the rich young ruler lawyer because he says which, right? Which commandment, right? He's trying to justify himself. Which one or which ones do I need to keep? Not realizing that Jesus meant all of them. So what's Jesus start to do in verses 18 and 19? He starts to recite some of them. He says, thou shalt do no murder. That's number 6. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's number 7. Thou shalt not steal. That's number 8. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's number 9. And then honor thy father and thy mother. Harper knows that one. That's number 5 right there. So he says 5 through 9. And these are all, you can kind of group them together. These are all the ones where a man interacts with some other man, right? This is the interactions that we have. He didn't say 1 through 4 talking about how you interact with God. He's talking about how you interact with man. He picks these ones out. But then he adds something at the end of verse 19. This is not in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what he did right there? He said, here are 5 of the commandments, 5 of the rules. But then he goes from the rule and he goes to love, right? Love thy neighbor as thyself, which puts all five of those together, right? All five of those fit in love thy neighbor as thyself. So he is telling him to go beyond the rule and go to love, which love's not in the law, by the way. But Matthew 5:17, think not, Jesus said this, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus wasn't eliminating the law. He is just showing him, or he's trying to show this man, since we can't follow the rules of the law perfectly, we need to recognize we're a sinner and turn to Jesus Christ. And he is saying, he's starting to show him, this is the life I want you to live. Not just following rules. And especially not just following the rules which you think you can or the ones you think are important, but you need to live a life in love and compassion. And that is what this world today, I said it a couple times lately, I wish it was politically correct for this world to be non-selfish and compassionate and empathetic. They say they are, but they're not. It's not popular today. They say do what makes you feel good and do what makes you satisfied and everything else. And other people need to give you something and everything. That is selfishness. And our world, a relationship can't survive with two selfish people. A nation can't survive full of selfish people, and a world can't. And that's why we're in such a mess. Everyone wants everything for themselves.
Right.
And look where we're getting. Nowhere. Nobody's getting anything they want in the end. But he says, I want you to live with compassion. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And look at verse 20. The young man says this, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Another question. See, this ruler of the synagogue should have known that Jesus recited those five commandments and then added, love thy neighbor as thyself. He should have noticed that. And that should have stopped him and made him think about it. But instead, he says, all these things have I kept from my youth up, which in Jewish culture, it would have been 13. That's when they decide that you're responsible for keeping the law, was at 13. So he's a young man. We don't know how old he is. I don't know if he's in his 20s or 30s or whatever. But he's saying for 10, 20 years, I have kept all of these things. And I'm sure it's true. He's never killed anybody. He never had an affair with another man's wife. He hadn't stolen anything. He hadn't lied and about someone and destroyed the reputation, and he honored his parents. But Jesus wasn't looking for someone who would just follow the letter of those laws. He was looking for someone who would follow the spirit of the law. And that was what the love part. And he is also claiming, I have perfectly loved my neighbor as myself all of those years. And that's where you start saying, wait a second, there's no way. There's no way. On the way home tonight, so I heard this example from somebody. On the way home tonight, you go and you start to see smoke rising around near where your house is at. We start getting close to the subdivision and we can tell there's a house on fire. We don't know which one it is. We pull in and we notice it's not our house, but the one next to us. And what do we say? Whew. Right? I'm glad it wasn't my house. Yeah, that's how much we love our neighbor more than ourselves. And that's a drastic example, but isn't that true? In so many ways, this is what he's saying. But you know what? He had done these things of the law, but he should have known. Luke chapter 10, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? A similar question. He struggled with the same thing, loving thy neighbor as thyself. And it says, he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Right? That certain lawyer was saying, when Jesus said, you've got to love your neighbor as yourself, he was trying to get out of it and say, well, who is my neighbor?
Can you define that for me? That's what a lawyer would do. Define it for me. So make sure you say, Jesus, that the people I like are my neighbor, right? That's what he was saying. Make sure it's the people I get along with. That's who my neighbor is. But Jesus answered with the story of the Good Samaritan. And remember, in that story, the Samaritan was the one that saved the day and did the good thing and helped his neighbor out. And the Jews would have been appalled by that story because they hated the Samaritans because they saw them as half-breeds. So what he was saying in that question, who is my neighbor? He said, it's everybody. It's the people you like, and it's the Samaritans that you don't like. It's all of them together. Now, this story happened. Remember, I said this Luke 18 is the story of the rich young ruler, and this was Luke 10. The question's already been asked. And loving the neighbor as thyself has already come out. And it was scandalous when he said the Good Samaritan, when he tells that. But here's this man still trying to say that he has perfectly loved his neighbor and kept all the Ten Commandments. It's impossible. He asked Jesus, what lack I yet? You know what he wanted Jesus to say? He wanted Jesus to say nothing. You made it. You've attained it, right? You've hit the level. I'm good. You're good. We're both good, right? That's what he wanted. That way he could, he ran to Jesus. He bowed before him. And that way he could go back puffed up and proud back to the synagogue and said, you know what? That Jesus, he's all right. You know, people don't like him, but he's good. He's all right, isn't he? You know, he said that I'm a pretty good person. He said that I've done good enough where I can get to heaven on my own. What a blessing. And I'm sure the disciples standing around are thinking, you know, if he would have said nothing, if he would have said you made it, then they would have said, man, we could have got some good donations to the ministry, right? There Judas holding the bag, it would have been a little heavier with more money in it because he's rich and he's powerful and everything like that. And you know what would have really happened after that? Not only would he would have went away excited, but there would have been every Pharisee, every scribe, every Sadducee, every religious lawyer, and everyone else would have lined up to Jesus the same way and said, Lord, a good master, you know what? What's it take to inherit eternal life? And when he goes through it, they just said, well, I've kept that too, just like him. And then they would have all just been all self-righteous and all proud and all excited because they all made it, right? It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? But why are there so many religions that proclaim, that say they follow the Bible and say they follow Jesus Christ and say they go with what the Bible says, yet they are teaching the exact opposite of this story, as if he could have made his way into eternal life and earned it? You can't. You can't. What lack I yet? See, sometimes you read verse 21 and you're thinking, man, he's really, well, let's read it. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And you're thinking, man, Jesus is really asking him to do that? Well, yeah, to someone who's self-righteous and doesn't realize that he's a sinner and has just got everything out of whack, yeah, Jesus will say that to somebody to get their attention. You know what? Jesus didn't care that he was rich. He didn't care that he was a ruler. He didn't need his influence. He didn't want his money. But you know what he did? See, he should have caught a couple things. See, he stopped just shy of the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. He didn't tell him that one. That should have triggered something. Wait a second. He didn't say that one. Maybe in his heart, he would have realized, maybe I have a problem with that one. Right? And then loving your neighbor as yourself, neither of those slowed him down. And then Jesus tells him this. His money and his power gave him access to different things in this life. It brought pride because he thought he lived a perfect life. He deserved eternal life for his good works. But he's saying, if you really want to live a perfect life, then sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And he's saying, take up your cross. That means I'm about ready to take up my cross. You take up your cross too and follow me. And give up the synagogue, give up your position, give up your money, give up all of those things and follow me and leave that old life behind. And really the other thing he'd have to give up is his own self-righteousness and repent and turn to Jesus Christ. You know, he could have done that day. You realize that? He could have. He would have become a disciple of Jesus. He would have walked with Jesus. He would have learned from him. He'd have been part of the early church. He'd have been there at Pentecost. We'd probably be reading more about him in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit might have even used him to pen one of the letters. But instead of all that, look at verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The same ruler that ran to Jesus through the crowd, knelt before him, called him good master, was ready to do something for Jesus. And I believe if Jesus would have said, give me $1,000 in that day's currency, he would have done it. Or if he'd have said, you do this ritual, you sign up for this, right? You do this to yourself, whatever. He would have gladly done it. But you know what Jesus said? I want your whole life. And he walked away sorrowfully. Isn't that what we see today? Sometimes the same thing. Jesus wants your whole life. And you know what? I just was talking about what could have been. We would still be talking about him today, but in a different light. Not that he went away sorrowfully, but God used him powerfully. Just like some of the other, just like the apostles that walked away from the same things. Some of them had good jobs and had money and different things, but they left that to do what God called them to do. And we're still talking about them today. And the church is still around today because of what they were able to do at the beginning through the work of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. See, that's the thing. He's thinking, if I give up the great position, if I give up the power, if I give up the money, and that's what the devil wants you to do, is to focus on what you're giving up. And in all reality, he gave up so much more. He gave up eternal life. Yeah. He gave up God using him in a powerful way. He gave up making a true difference. His life didn't amount to anything after that. Oh, maybe to the world standards, they might have named the synagogue after him after he died, but he would have split hell wide open. And in fact, you know, in the Bible, in Luke, we have a couple instances. Like Luke 12, it says, and a certain rich man had pulled down his barns to build greater ones, and to take ease and eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul be required of thee. I don't know if it's the same rich man or not, but if it's not him, Luke 16, there was a certain rich man that fared sumptuously every day, and he ignored the beggar Lazarus, who just wanted the crumbs from off of his table, and the dogs licked his sores, and he ignored that one. And see, now that story starts to really perk my antennas. I don't know about you. You think about it. What did Jesus say? Sell all you have and give to the poor. And then later on, there's a rich man who ignored the poor, and he lifted up his eyes in hell. If he didn't change, the same story as him. But Mark 10:24, the parallel passage of this. And the disciples were astonished at his words, at Jesus' words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus didn't say how hard it is for them that have riches, but he said that trust in them. If you trust in your own good works, you trust in what you have, you trust in what you've done,
it's going to be impossible to enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah. And then remember the disciples saying further down, well, how does anyone come? How does anyone inherit eternal life? That's what I like when Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? You know why with God it's possible? Because the Holy Spirit can touch a heart and someone can realize. Remember what Moses realized? He realized that the riches of Egypt, being in the palace of Pharaoh, in fact, he might have even become Pharaoh if he waited long enough. He could have been in line to the throne, being the grandson. But he gave up all that for greater riches and serving God. Traded the palace out for the wilderness. The world would have said that was a dumb mistake. But one day he saw a burning bush, and God himself revealed himself to him, and his life was never the same. Right? Isn't that amazing? Then later on, Jesus is here on the Mount of Transfiguration. Who's there to be a witness from the Old Testament? There's Moses again.
Yeah.
Remember, he could have been in Pharaoh's palace, but he said, I don't want it. I don't want it. You know what? Same things for each one of us. You trust in this world, it'll let you down. You deal with lost people. You know what a big problem is? The same thing as the rich young ruler. They're putting their trust in themselves. They're putting their trust in what they've built, what they have. And all those things are temporary. And Jesus... See, what we do is we try to smooth it over, right? Jesus didn't do that. He said, you want to inherit eternal life from the law? You had to have kept it perfectly, and you're not doing it. But if he would have stuck around and admitted, you know what Jesus would have said? I'll forgive you. You want to find eternal life? Find it through the cross, right? Take up your cross. I'll die for your sins. Isn't that amazing how it still works today? Still working this morning. Still will keep working. We need to pray, church. We got a revival coming up. I'm looking forward to even more things happening. It doesn't just have to be this week. I pray that families get changed. Isn't that wonderful when a whole family is changed? The whole thing is different. Only that can be God. I ask everyone to stand. We're going to open up the altar tonight. If you need to pray about anything, I would urge you to come pray.